This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Open for Business. I'm Christine Wong. We've all felt that frustration of driving around and around an area or a parking lot, desperately searching for that coveted empty space with bright yellow lines for ages. Well, what if you knew you had your very own parking spot reserved and ready to go? I have CEO and co-founder of peer-to-peer parking platform, ParkIt, Liu Kei-yan, here to discuss that and more. For the purposes of today's conversation, I'll refer to him as Kian for this chat.
Hello, Christina. Thanks for having me. Very glad to be here and to share what ParkIt is about. Well, generally, ParkIt is a platform where people can rent out their parking spaces, and we make it easier for people to find them, anyone looking for them. So, for example, if you're a property owner, you own an apartment or a commercial space and you have parking available, you can list it on our platform, and anyone who is looking for a parking can basically rent it from you.
Right. And where did this idea come from?
It came from me facing the problem myself. Before I started ParkIt, I was working in KL Central. And KL Central is so terrible to find a parking. Mm. And so I paid corporate rates, special rates, 13 ringgit per day to walk 10 minutes. If it rains, I get wet. Mm. I'm under the hot sun. Very hard to find a parking. Open space, gravel. And it was a bit difficult for me as a fresh graduate. And what I noticed is, around our city centre, places that are hard to find parking, there's always residential buildings, apartments, condominiums. And if you peek into those condominiums, you can most of the time realise that these car parks are empty, very underutilised. So what I thought was, hey, if I could find someone who I knew personally or maybe my relative owns a property there, and I said, hey, if I pay you half the price of what I'm paying now, would you be happy to rent it out? At the same time, you know, you make some income from the space that you don't use. And I thought that, hey, he would. So that's what I started doing. And I managed to find a property owner to rent it to me. And that was my first parking space ever. And after that, I helped my colleagues find some. And ultimately, I made a business from it. Yeah.
Right, I see. Yeah. So talk to me about the fact that this is also, I believe, your first foray into entrepreneurship. What's that transition been like for you?
Yeah, it is. It is my first time as an entrepreneur here or starting a business. How is that like the transition? I think I always had an interest in business or building something in general and trying to... If I had an idea, I'm very curious whether it will work. So I always wanted to. And I was given the opportunity and that's great. The transition from full-time for me was... my experience was while working full-time, I worked on ParkIt part-time. So I was kind of working two jobs until ultimately we managed to get some funding, we managed to get some backers, and I had to quit my full-time job. So that transition was pretty okay because by the time I left my full-time job to start my entrepreneurship journey full-time, we already had some form of backing or funding.
Right. So it was a bit more gradual for you because there are some people who just, you know, just one day they decide to quit their 9-to-5 and then just start something. For you, it was a lot of a slower paced transition out of the traditional workday, I suppose.
Yes. I worked two jobs. One is on ParkIt and full-time on my consultant job. So it was kind of gradual. I think somehow that made it a little bit easier, but then again, like the working hours is a lot.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So you mentioned raising the funding and having a backing before you jumped in head first into starting the business, right? Tell me a little bit about that process. What was the initial capital raising like?
When I first tried to get funding, I didn't have much. I probably just had an idea. And I spoke to one of the, I think, earlier accelerators in Malaysia at that time, Watchtower and Friends, same guys as Pitchin now, if you know them. And when I had a conversation with them, it was a very coffee talk. Like I just went to their office, we sat down, just a few people had a meeting. I told them about the idea and then I left. And actually, they told me, like, I thought I would never see you again. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. But they say that, hey, we're gonna start an accelerator soon in a couple of months, and you should join. And you know, if you're really interested and trying to get some funds, then the accelerator will help you. So I tried that. When I launched it, I joined it, and fortunately, I was given an opportunity to got accepted into the accelerator, and that accelerator came with some form of pre-seed funds, and that helped me a lot.
Would you mind sharing how much the pre-seed funds were and what they were used for?
Okay, the pre-seed fund was $50,000 mm-hmm. for some equity swap. It was the accelerator ran for about four months, and we could use it for anything. That there were not many restrictions on how we could use the funds. Mm-hmm. It was just.
But how were they used?
Okay, so how they were used is mainly was to build a team. Mm-hmm. That I was a one-man team at the time, so most of it was used to build a team as well as. Spend some money on building some technology around it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Because as I understand it as well, Parkit is essentially an app, right, that connects, as you mentioned, the people who are renting out their private residential, potentially, or commercial parking spaces to the general public, right? So you had to sort of delve a little bit into the tech space in order to do this. And I know that you mentioned earlier that you had previous experience with consultancy, but did you have any experience at all within the tech space, like app development, any of that space at all?
Zero.
Zero.
I have zero experience in app development. I can't code. I don't know how to run a tech team at that time. But what I did know was to piece together things that we need. Mm-hmm. So we knew that a website is important to get leads. We knew digital advertising was something that we wanted to have. And we went on that route first. So I remember when we started, we didn't have a full app. Mm-hmm. We didn't have money to do that. So what we had was a very, very simple website, which was able to collect some leads, some responses. And then from there, like, the work starts. It was very, very manual.
You had like the skeleton first just to get those responses in, and then you developed that into something a bit more in-depth.
Yes.
Okay.
Bootstrap everything,
I see. So what was it like, learning about the tech space and learning how to run a tech business when you had no previous experience?
How is it like? Mm-hmm. I think it's very scary. Mm-hmm. I think if you knew the reality of it, I think a lot of people might change their mind.
Right.
But I had the benefit of the doubt. Mm. And I always wanted to build. So whatever it takes, I knew that I was going to try. Mm-hmm. And I was going to put a lot into trying to make it work. So as time passes by, you kind of figure out what you need.
Right.
And then you try to go and be resourceful and get those things you need to really build what you want. But I mean, even today, like whatever product we have, I don't know if it's going to last for a long time, but you know, for now it works.
Mm-hmm. And I think also the other thing about being a leader as well is knowing how to fill in the gaps of knowledge that you don't have, right? So I'm presuming that that is what you did when you started building your team. I assume you started with people who could code and could do all these tech things that you didn't necessarily have the industry knowledge of, right?
We started with one intern,
then two
interns, three interns. Mm-hmm. We didn't have enough resources to hire people from industry, experienced people to all of a sudden start to make it very, very big. I mean, we just raised $50,000, so that's quite small. And I had no experience in entrepreneurship, so I couldn't raise like big amount of funds. Mm-hmm. So I think when we started off, we hired a more junior level people, not people with experience. And then we relied a lot on our own thinking, our own thought process. What's logical? What's rational? Listening to our customers, learning from their experience, and then trying to build a product around it.
Right. Really building from your consumer feedback.
Yes, that's right.
I see. Mm. All right. You are not necessarily the only parking app or not necessarily the only people using the same business model. I believe actually on this very show, one of my colleagues spoke to Curb, for example, which is, I believe, based in Australia, and they've now since moved here and they have a very similar model to you. What sets you apart? What sets Parkit apart from other people that might be in the same industry or space?
We have been in the industry, or we've started a business for about 4.5 years now. Mm. Curb, I think they've been here for a year or less. I think what sets us out is our relationships with our current users, whether they are parkers or whether they are property owners. Now, once you have a space, once we have a space from a property owner, it's with us.
Mm.
You know, it's hard to go and then look for the property owner or identify them and then ultimately try to compete with us or take them away. So I think that will be our biggest competitive advantage because we have years ahead starting the business. And we have local experience. We are more localized. We are only in Malaysia mainly at the moment. So I think most of our effort is spent here. And when it comes to driving or getting a supply of parking, speaking to these individual owners, I think it's pretty hard to match our effort.
Right.
So I think that would be what sets us up.
So you have these sort of exclusivity already because you have these established relationships with a lot of property owners from the get-go, right? And also you are a local brand, so you have that twist about you, right? That is a bit more perhaps convincing, right, to certain property owners on that front as well.
Yes, and also we understand the problem maybe a little bit more deeply.
Mm.
For me, being a Malaysian here, and most of my team is Malaysian, whatever they face, the problem that they face with parking, it's very deeply rooted within
our culture. It's a personal issue.
Yeah, it's a personal issue for all Malaysians. And so if you're not from Malaysia or lived here for a certain amount of time, I think it's a little bit more difficult to grasp that. But it's not so simple. I think at the end of the day, when it comes to dealing with property owners as well, when it comes to dealing with property management as well, it's not so easy,
right,
if you're not from here.
And also, which parts of Malaysia do you cover? Have you managed to cover all of Malaysia yet, or are you still expanding?
We are in Penang, KL, Selangor and JB at the moment, but we do have spaces also in Singapore and Hong Kong right now.
I see. Well, it's time to take a short break for some messages, but after that I will continue speaking to Ken Liu all about Parkit. So do stay tuned to Open for Business on BFM 89.9.
Beyond frivolous mishmash, BFM 89.9.
You're listening to Open for Business. I'm Christine Wong. I have CEO and co-founder of peer-to-peer parking platform Parkit, Liu Keyan, or Kian Liu, here with me to discuss everything about Parkit. And before the break, we talked a little bit about the catalyst of what created Parkit in the first place, which is, as we all know, that frustration of not being able to find a parking space and how Kian's transition into entrepreneurship happened slowly as well. So walk me through it a little bit from the consumer's point of view. What is the process of using Parkit as an app?
The process is pretty simple. You go on the app, search for where you want to park or where you want to go. And what will happen is the map will pop out with all the pins around you. These pins will show you the prices, how far it is to your location that you want to go. And from there, you can zoom in on those pins or click those pins. You can see additional information, how to park, how to go, what's the rates, any other additional information, whether they're reserved, whether they're floating, whether they're commercial, whether they're residential. And from there, if you want to make a decision to book, then you can click a button and then check out. Or if you want to just inquire more, then you can click to inquire more. When you inquire more, then it routes you to our customer service or our sales. And from there, we will find out what's your requirements and then
see what you can do.
Yeah, give you the most suitable solution for you.
And how are the rates calculated for a specific parking space? For example, is it more expensive in a space like KL that's super congested? And you know, obviously some retail spaces in KL already charge a lot more than, for example, some retail spaces in Selangor for parking spaces, right? I mean, how is that all calculated? Is that automated? Like, what's the thought process that goes on there?
There is a lot of factors in play. So supply of parking determines price. Demand for parking also determines price. So if you're going to look at a place with very, very high demand, like KLCC area, Bukit Bintang area, that's a place where a lot of people find it very difficult to find parking. But in that city center, you have a lot of supply as well. You have a lot of open spaces, for example. You have a lot of malls, for example. So the competition is higher. And therefore, I would say that price can be not the most expensive in the city.
Right.
The most expensive car park in the city is for sure KL Central. The way it's built and the way that demand is just so high and the way that it's built and the parking is very, very limited. And it's also sort of like a monopoly by one car park operator. And so you pay in excess of 350 per car park per month, and people grab these spaces.
Mm.
And it's all usually very sold out, and there's like huge waiting list. For our website, how we price our car park would be, there's a price algorithm where we always display the cheapest parking first. So when we approach property owners, we can have maybe 3 or 4, 10 or 20 property owners within one building, and everyone has a different asking price.
I see.
Some want 150, some want 300, some want 250 for whatever reason. So we take the asking price, we add in a margin, and then we display always the cheapest first. Once that cheapest car park is sold, then the next cheapest one will appear. So if you're a property owner and you want to lease your car park, if you're cheaper, then you'll be the quickest in line to rent it out.
And I'm assuming that that added margin is where your revenue comes from.
Yes, that's right. The added margins will be where we cover costs, our operational costs and all that.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of sort of where the money comes from as well, you did go through more funding processes as time has gone by. Obviously, you had that initial capital with what is now known as Pitch In and that accelerator. But you've also used equity crowdfunding, and also you've used Malaysian venture capitalists and some corporates as well. Tell me a little bit about those funding processes. How much did you raise? What was that used for as well?
We raised a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
I think we raised about 4 to 5 times. So far, total, we raised, I wouldn't say so much, like maybe 350,000 USD.
Mm-hmm.
So that's about 1.3, 1.4 million.
Mm.
Out of that, we probably have about half left in the bank. So I would say pretty efficient use of money based on our output, how much we have produced in revenue. Going through the accelerator is something all startups should try to go through if they are starting and they do not have experience. So there are certain benefits going through an accelerator where you get not only guidance, but mentorship and a little bit of funding.
Mm.
I think at that point, mentorship, guidance would be what is more important as compared to the funds. Later on, we raised through equity crowdfunding. That was an interesting experience, equity crowdfunding. We had to work. It's not, you don't just go to an equity crowdfunding platform and then say, hey, list my business, and then you just wait and then you
get
money.
There's a lot more convincing that needs to happen there.
Yes. We had to find our own anchors.
Yes.
We had to find our initial investors first. So we had to cover, not to say we had to cover, but probably if you want to hit your target, you should.
You got to get things started, right?
Yes.
Yep.
So we had 70, 80% of those funds already kind of secured through our anchors. And then when we raised it on Pitchin, it's sort of like a platform where the money goes through. So we also get some press from it, some advertising from it. So that's great for us. On top of equity crowdfunding, we also managed to get some help from the government.
Mm.
So some of it will be Cradle Fund, and
yes,
the other one will be MNEC, the Malaysian Digital Economic Corporation. And they actually helped quite a lot, not only on the funds, but also on mentorship.
Yeah.
Mm, mentorship. So these are grants. It's not an equity swap. It's grants, so meaning it's free money, but they hold you accountable for it.
I mean, yeah.
It's taxpayers' money. So it's not as so simple as going through equity crowdfunding, they give you cash, right?
Yeah, there's a level of responsibility, right, that needs to be taken into account there.
Yeah. So it's like
grants.
A claim basis.
Right.
So imagine if you work for a company, you have to spend first, then claim it, right?
Yeah.
So same thing, when you get any government grant, it usually works like that. You've got to spend it first and then prove to them, hey, I've spent the money.
Mm.
They will do an audit. So it's very transparent, and then they will reimburse that funds to you in the form of a grant.
I see.
The last one I want to mention would be next year. So Nexia Angels is a VC or a angel network here who has been with us since the start of the accelerator, and they also gave us follow-up funding. So that's an equity swap, but I think more than that, more than just the funds also, more than just follow-up funding also after the initial investment, they also provide a lot of mentorship, a lot of benefits that open doors for you to meet corporates, for example. So I would say in a startup, when you start a business and then you start to grow,
It's about who you know sometimes.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And there are a lot of things that you kind of need to do to kind of progress.
Yeah, you need to build those relationships. You need to expand your network as well. That's just what business is like, right? Yeah. So that's the reality of the situation.
Yes.
Now, I do want to ask you as well a little bit about how you guys have evolved since your inception, because you started, as you mentioned, in 2016, I believe. And then the pandemic happened and no one was going out anymore. So talk to me about that. What was your experience? What was Parkit's experience with the pandemic? And how did you guys evolve throughout that?
The pandemic was tough. I mean, I think it was tough on everybody. Just nobody needed parking. Everyone was working from home, except like essentials. But I don't think we service many essentials. We service mostly working professionals. But one thing that we were quite fortunate with our business model is we are a subscription business model. So our users pay us monthly, not on-demand pay-per-use. If you're pay-per-use, I think zero.
Yeah, that would be very difficult to sustain.
When it's locked down, you are zero revenue.
Right.
But because we are in subscription, it helped a lot of customers continue paying the fee, knowing that, hey, when lockdown is over, I got to still have my parking. We also had B2B clients, corporates who pay for the parking that they provide to staff. Some of our subscribers could claim it from the company. So then these guys, they just continue paying while having that security that at least they have a space to use later on. However, I think we lost quite a bit of business because depending on the organization, they say, hey, we're going to work from home for the next 12 months. Then they know they don't need the parking anymore. So then they will just terminate the space.
Yeah.
We did try to help by providing certain spaces discounts. If you are able to negotiate with the owner, we offered to freeze their our subscribers' subscription to make it easier for them. We provide some funding or financing if those that cannot afford to pay. So we tried all that at the same time, trying to balance the survival of Parkit. We did that. We also revenue diversified. We diversified our revenue by going into the logistics space. So we also helped micro entrepreneurs, SMEs, businesses to deliver their products, considering we have vehicle owners with us. So we gave them an opportunity that, hey, if you want to make some money, then, right? So
it's a win-win, right?
Yeah. So we also did that, and that helped to provide some cash flow to manage the business.
And so now that, you know, we're sort of going back to as normal as kind of possible right now, how are you guys doing and what's in the future for Parkit?
The trend is definitely coming back. Everyone's going back. Everyone's going back to the office. I was at traffic today. It's crazy. And from what we see in terms of the leads or the inquiries that we're getting, it's coming
picking
back.
Picking up.
Yes.
Nice.
So it's not as good as previous before MCO, but we can see that it is coming back. Like all of a sudden, so many people need parking spaces again. And we are now trying to hurry and then to provide these spaces, trying to not let them wait too long. And so I think in the future, next 3 to 5 years, we definitely want to expand throughout Malaysia as well as globally. But not only on the parking, just general parking, we also have EV. So now we also go into the EV space, electric vehicle space, and trying to provide more visibility to EV infrastructure. They have here a lot of our users. Some of our users are electric vehicle, so they want to know where these spaces. They ask us, "Hey, is there any EV parking on your platform?" And so we're just trying to provide visibility now and provide a way to monetize EV chargers at the moment. So I think we're in the mobility space, and the future of mobility is quite big. So in the next 3 to 5 years, definitely overseas, we want to be the largest car park aggregators around. And hopefully we can make it work.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. Well, thank you so much to you, Ken, for joining me and talking about Parkit today.
Thank you, Christine, for having me.
You've been listening to Open for Business. I'm Christine Wong. I've been speaking to CEO and co-founder of peer-to-peer parking platform Parkit, Liu Kay Yan, here on Open for Business. If you've missed any of today's show, you can, of course, go ahead and download our app that's available on the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also head over to our website, bfm.my, to listen to and download the podcast. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.